Well, what Claudia just read to us a moment ago is kind of like the Gettysburg Address of sermons in the Bible. When you think about it, it has so compactly all the things that you really need to know about a gospel presentation. I'd love to dig into that more at some point, Claudia. It's a great reading. But today, I want to address the elephant in the room. Not politics now. You guys thought I was going to go there, right? I would never do that on a Sunday morning. But did you realize that today there are three important events that are happening today, right? Let's see if you can remember what those three might be. First of all, there is something special about the date today. 02-02-2020. Now, does anybody know what that is called? Oh, a palindrome. Here's a science teacher over here, a math, science or math? You know exactly what it is. So what a palindrome. I'm not one of those. But what it is you can say something frontwards and backwards, and it's the same way. It's kind of like spelling mom, right? Only one way to spell mom, frontwards or backwards, and you still get a mom out of it. But when you think about those numbers, frontwards or backwards, they are all the same. And so, congratulations, you are living on a day that only has happened in the last 919 years. Today's that day. So, congratulations on that. I'm actually doing a wedding this afternoon for a couple, and they chose that date specifically because of that. So now you have a trivia fact. When the Super Bowl gets boring, you can talk about that, right? During the commercial, not during the commercials, during the game. All right, the second thing today is, did you know it is Groundhog Day? You guys know what Groundhog Day is, right? And so this morning, what happened when the groundhog came out of his hole up in Pennsylvania? Did he see a shadow or not? He did not. So what's that mean? Spring is right around the corner. Now, I have some bad news for you. The groundhog is rarely right. So I don't know what the odds are on that, but he is not the great the word I can't say. Say it really loud. Thank you very much on that. And so the groundhog doesn't do that, but somehow we have this very strange tradition where we do that every year. And then, as Dara alluded to already, today is the Super Bowl on that. And so I'm going to do a non-scientific survey, kind of like Dara did a moment ago. How many in the room are San Francisco 49er fans? Raise your hands. We've got a few over here on the left coast on that. How many of you all are Kansas City Chiefs fans? Many more. Okay, doing that. How many of you all are Dallas Cowboy fans? Yes. Well, someday we may get back to the Super Bowl. Not today, right? On doing that. And then how many of you all just don't even care on that? That's funny. Some of you guys don't even care about it at all. Well, when I moved to Dallas in 2005, it was January 2005, so almost 15 years ago to the month, we moved to Dallas, and I began pastoring a church that was in Valley Ranch. If you've ever heard of that little place over there, it was Valley Ranch Baptist Church. And one of the cool things about it is I could look out my office window from about here to Market Street, and out my window I could see a big blue star on the practice facility that was at Valley Ranch. So I told all my Oklahoma friends where I'd moved from. They thought that was really cool, so I would snap pictures of it and send it to them. And from time to time we would have cowboys that would come to the church, and if you went to the Tom Thumb Market there, you'd see cowboys in there. And it was a big deal in Valley Ranch to have that facility there. 36 acres, 5 championships, and you can see on the screen up there is a shot of the championship kind of marquee out in front of that. However, you know, it was built in the 1980s. You might remember May the 2nd, 2009. Remember what happened on that day? It was a Saturday, and a big windstorm came through, and it blew that building down. And I remember coming in on that Sunday morning and looking out my window, and that blue star was no longer there. Kind of like the cowboys, no longer there, right, on doing that. Oh, no. It's been a long time since I've been booed in a sermon, but hey, that's all right. That's all right. Just wait. You may want to boo later, so on doing that. But, you know, blew the facility down. And that Valley Ranch area, truthfully, has never been the same. And so if you were to walk through that area today, they have actually torn down that whole area, and that 36 acres is being developed by a home developer there and a builder on doing that. You know, isn't it interesting how things change? And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today is change. You know, when that facility went away, you know, Jerry Jones in 2016 moved the new Dallas Cowboy facility out to in Frisco. And some of y'all have been there to the Star, and I've been there. And, of course, it's a much larger facility and a much more beautiful facility. And it's bigger, and it's right on the highway, and you can't miss it. Where in Valley Ranch, you had to kind of go back off the beaten path to find it. But things change, right? The Cowboys have changed. The personnel has changed. They've changed their coach this year. And change is just what it seems like it's all about in life. And so I've said change happens. The date on the calendar changes every day, right? The weather in Texas, we say this, if you don't like today, yeah, wait until tomorrow. The weather will change. And I understand we're going to get a wintry mix this week, maybe on that. Super Bowl teams change every year. And yes, our culture changes as well. And so I want to start this morning, just ask you a question. How do you feel about change? Claudia's laughing down here. How do you feel about change? Are you the kind of person who actively seeks it out? Or maybe, like many of us, you often find yourself resisting change. We live in a changing culture, and these notes are in your Bible app today. Our churches and our communities are not exempt. Let me say that again. Our churches and our communities are not exempt from change, right? God says that He doesn't change. But today, the premise I want to put forward you is this, is seeing the community clearly requires us both to embrace the ancient and welcome the future. Sit with that for a moment. We are called to embrace the future as people of faith, or excuse me, embrace the ancient as people of faith. We have lots of past, right? We have lots of ancient truths. However, we are also called to welcome the future because change happens. You know what I found? That we can't hold the hands of time still. Change happens in people. It happens in places, and it happens in positions, which in a sense brings us to our scripture passage that I want to use for kind of our springboard today to talk about what we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 17. The scripture is about the Apostle Paul. He's in the city of Athens. It takes place somewhere between AD 49 and 52. He is in the cities waiting for his missionary buddies to show up, Silas and Timothy. And the city of Athens is known as at that time as a city of learning and as a city of culture and a city of business. You might even consider it to be somewhat like Dallas today. You know, we could say all those things about where we live at, a place of opportunity. And yet, we find right out of the gate, Paul says, as he was walking around looking, he found that the city was full of idols. Full of idols. Let me ask you, do we have idols in North Texas? Okay. Well, you know, back in those times, you might have found more idols. And, you know, we think of idols, maybe a statue of a god or a goddess. But I believe we do have idols in North Texas. Here's how I define an idol. It's this. It's anything that takes our eyes and our affections away from the true God. We sang about that today, right? Keeping our eyes on God. So really what an idol is anything that keeps me from, in a sense, looking at God and keeps me or brings my attention to something else. Now, we would say, nah, I'm not sure, Jim. I'm not sure if I have an idol or not. Let me try this one on you. How many of y'all are going to watch the Super Bowl tonight? In your room is probably this big flat screen TV. And we will all get around it, and we'll have our food in our hands. And to some degree, we will bow down to our idol, right? We will look at that. So we do have idols. Sometimes it's our success. Sometimes it's our home. Sometimes it's our looks. Sometimes it's our vehicles or possessions. So I would say in our day and time, there are a lot of things that draw our attention and take our eyes and affections away from the true God. Now, just to show you how things change, think back 30 years ago. That's going to be hard for some of you young people here. You can't think back 30 years ago, but some of us can. Think about a Sunday morning 30 years ago. What was there to do to some degree other than go to church? Right? 30 years ago, church, in a sense, was the only game in town. It's not that way anymore, is it? There's lots of things that can take place on a Sunday morning that can pull us and draw us away from, in a sense, the worship of God. I would say that across the board, and if we were to kind of analyze our community this morning, I would tell you all across not only our community, but our nation and our world, church attendance is down. Did you know that? Religion is not quite in vogue as it once was, and especially in the West, and especially in the United States. States of America. And so this morning, as we begin, I just want to remind us that change happens, right? Change happens. We see it all over the place. And sometimes change, we can have, I think, one of two maybe ways that we look at change. We can oppose it. And I've been guilty of that sometimes before. I like the way that things are. Or sometimes we can look at change as an opportunity. And so as we look to see what our community is like, as we look to see clearly what our future holds as a church, I would just hold that out there to you. Do we view it as an opportunity, a new way, maybe a new day to be able to reach our community, or are we going to dig our heels in and are we going to be opposed to trying to try new things and to do new things? Now, let me give you an illustration about how change works in the church. This morning, in a few minutes, we're going to observe communion, right? So let me give you a few things about communion to show you how that we have changed through the years. Do you prefer words in a hymn book or words on the screen? Change, right? How about kneeling or standing? How about juice or wine? How about gluten or non-gluten free elements, right? Do you see how that works? 30 years ago, we didn't have the option of gluten or non-gluten elements. We didn't have the opportunity to have words on the screen. And so change, in a sense, affects everything that we do, even the church. Now, some things change, some things shouldn't change, right? So this morning, if I kind of rolled out this new plan to you all, and I said, hey, we're going to do communion in a few minutes, but you know what? We're not going to do this body and blood thing. You know, that's so yesteryear. What would you think of that? Now, some of you all would say, absolutely not. You know, that is a lasting truth. That's an ancient truth that we don't want to give up. Now, this morning I may do a few things differently during communion than what Pastor Clay would do. Now, I suspect none of you would get up and walk out on that, right? It's sometimes, I've got a friend, Andy Stanley, some of you all know him because you watch some of his videos and read some of his books, and he has a way of saying things. He says that in ministry and in life, he says, we date our methods, but we marry our mission. Think about that for a moment. Our methods change from time to time, right? We do things differently. But our mission, the things that's core to us, the ancient teachings, so to speak, those don't change. And so today I want to kind of give you a little bit of a way that I think about things like this as we look to the future and as we try to see things clearly. Someone taught me one time, they said, when you read Scripture, there's two things that you should do. They said, sometimes when you read Scripture, you look at it from a descriptive standpoint. It is describing something. And then sometimes you look at it from a prescriptive standpoint. It is prescribing something. And so let me show you the difference here. We read this story today in Acts chapter 17. It's the Apostle Paul. And he basically tells us a story, right? He tells us a story about a city of Athens. It happened back between 49 and 52 B.C. Story, right? He walks around and he looks at the city, different than the city that we would live in. And so he describes for us a historical setting, which is good, right? I like history. I like to learn about things like that. But you know, some of those things won't ever be replicated, right? The Apostle Paul, I don't think you're ever going to replicate him to come tell that story for us. But some of the things in that story are what I believe are prescriptive. He says, here are some truths, these ancient truths that we can carry forward. Remember I said that change happens, right? And we have to have an eye towards the future, but also we have to have an anchor from the past. And so I think within our text today, we can find some things here that I want to point out to you that are somewhat descriptive, tells us about what the story was about. But what I want us to take away are the things that we can do in 2020. Okay? So let me move forward here. First of all, I think one of the things that the Apostle Paul did that is helpful for us is I believe that he was a cultural student. A cultural student. So what is a cultural student? A cultural student is just someone who, as it says in the verse there, it says, he walked around and he looked carefully at the objects of their worship, and he said, I even found an altar with this inscription on it, to an unknown God. And I love what my friend Deb Hirsch, who's an author, she writes about this. She says this, she says, living like Jesus means that we are deeply investing in people by understanding their history, their stories, their heroes. It's about immersing ourselves into their lives. When we identify with a people, we take their culture and concerns to heart. Now, if we were just to kind of go back 30 years ago to this piece of land and the people that live around this piece of land, we would probably say that our community has changed, right? There's a lot of things that are different about that. When I was down at Valley Ranch at one time, that was kind of an up-and-coming young singles and couples place down there, and people were building. But you know what? Through the years, that community has changed. It's built out. The cowboys are no longer there, right? It's more of an Indian-Asian culture down there. And so things change, right? And so we can either try to hold on to the past, or we can look at things through the eyes of a future or of the future. And I would say one of the ways that we do that is we become cultural students. We learn about the people that are around us. You know, when you learn about somebody's culture and when you take interest in them, you know what it does? It shows to them that you think they're valuable. I want to know what that's like. Tell me why you do this. What is your traditions and your background? And so I think the first thing that we would do with our eyes if we look to the future is I would ask us all to just think about it and say, I want to be a cultural student. I want to understand about this culture that we bring this ancient message into today, that we might be able to oftentimes retool our message. So Paul says this. He says, as I walked around, I looked at all the things that you all had out there. He took an interest. And then he said this. He said, now I even noticed that you had this this statue to the unknown God. I love what he did as a missionary and a preacher here. He really took the opportunity to say, now I've studied your ways. And then he used this gateway of saying, you actually have something over here that's an unknown God. And you know what he did right after that? He said, let me tell you what I think that means. Now, some of you all know, as Dara mentioned, I get to direct an organization called Loving Community. I'm a community pastor, and so I speak in churches a lot. I help churches to kind of dissect their culture and all that. But as a community pastor, whenever I go into schools sometimes, people will say, well, you know, who are you guys and what do you do in other situations as well? And so here's the line that I typically tell them. I say this. I say, you know, I'm a person that follows the teachings of Jesus. Jesus thought kids were pretty important, and so do I. In a sense, that's what Paul said, right? He says, you don't know who this unknown God is, but let me tell you a little bit about him. So what I tell people, I mean, everybody follows something, right, whether they know it or not. So I just tell people out of the gate, I just say, I follow the teachings of Jesus. So I get Jesus into the conversation, right? Not this church, that church, the other church, this preacher, that preacher, that people a lot of times have a lot of baggage with. But I just say Jesus. I bring them straight to the cross. And I just say, Jesus' teachings, I follow those. He thought this was important, and so do I. See how that works? And so you just kind of share, this is where I am at. And so I think Paul would say that one of the first things we need to do if we're going to be relevant to the future is we need to be cultural students. And then I think there's four other things I want to share with you quickly that I think are these changeless approaches to what we do. And the first one, they're all going to have the alliteration with a P letter in it. So first, I think we have to embrace our proximity. Acts chapter 17, verse 17, it says, so he reasoned in the synagogue, which would be like our church, right, with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks. And so that's good. What we do today, our gathering, is a good thing, right? Sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I need the church anymore. I think the church is valuable. I think this gathering place has value to it. But then it says after that, as well, he went into the marketplace. Now, what the marketplace is just simply the community, right? It can be city government. It can be schools. It can be your place of business. It can be your neighborhood. And so he, in a sense, said, I started out at church. I gathered on Sunday, one day a week. But then the other 6 days a week, I went out into the community. And it says, day by day, he was with those people who happened to be there. Now, what's interesting is this, unless you guys are an anomaly, you all probably all work at different places, right? You all probably all live in different neighborhoods, right? So, for me as a pastor to say, well, let me cover the whole community, could I do that? Absolutely not. Could we all do that? Absolutely, yes. You know, we're all in different places. When you take that verse literally, it just says that we can do that. We can bring the name of Jesus, the message of Jesus to our schools and our places of work and the neighborhoods and the sports teams our kids play on. And so I would say today, as we have an eye to the future, we need to embrace proximity. And I would ask you today, where are you at? And who might God be calling you to be the name of Jesus to them? So embrace proximity. The second thing is this, be present. Be present. And what I simply mean by this, and just to show up at the show up place. I have a friend that he uses that line a lot because sometimes he thinks that we're really distracted people. And sometimes he'll say to me, Jim, just show up at the show up place. And what he simply means is just to be present with people. You know, sometimes we're so busy and we're looking at our gadgets and we're doing everything but being with the person that's in front of us. So I think as we listen to people around us, they will begin to give us clues as to what good news is for them or what pieces of the gospel that we can start with. And so all I'm saying is to learn your neighborhood, learn your place of work, learn your school, learn the places that you're at, listen to people, be present with them. And I think as we're present with the people that we're in proximity with, I think God begins to weave our stories together with their stories. The third thing I think that we find here is a posture of humility, a posture of humility. What I love about Philippians 2:3, it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself. You know, one of the things I think that people don't like about church and Christians today, I hear it all the time from people, is they think that we are talking down to them. You know, they believe that we're arrogant. They believe that we think we have all the answers. I think they believe a lot of things about us that may not be true. You know, how I think we overcome that is this posture of humility. Jesus did that, right? He was born into a stable. He wasn't born into a castle, right? He hung out with working class people, right? He went to the places where sinners gathered. I mean, Jesus was a humble guy. Now, he carried the message, right? He didn't back away from his message. But it was a posture of humility. And I think as we become people that are humble and say, I just want to dig in with my neighborhood or my school or whatever it is, and I just want to help, I think at that point, we have the opportunity then just to share the message of our lives. I do a lot of mentoring programs, and I had a friend one day that said to me, he was looking at mentoring with us, and he said this. He said, "So, Jim, can we share the gospel with the students?" Now, he was a good old Baptist boy, and so I knew what he meant, right? I knew that he wanted to, like, place a gospel tract on somebody's desk, and maybe you've seen those before. They have the four spiritual laws. And he said, "Can we do that?" And you know what I told him? No. Now, I'm a pastor, and I said, "No, you can't do that." And so he was a friend, so I explained to him. I said, "What we are trying to be is salt and light and good news to this school." And I said, "What good news is when men show up to mentor little boys, that is good news. You don't see that in our community a lot." And so when people show up to mentor, somebody says, "Well, why are you guys here? What are you doing? Why would you take interest in that?" And remember what I said? I'm a person that follows the teachings of Jesus. Jesus thought little boys were important, and so do I. And so that's the message. That's the gospel message. But when we kind of come into things with this posture of humility, I believe then God has the ability to use that. And the last thing I find here is that when we do all these three things, we have the opportunity to proclaim the kingdom. I love these last two verses that Claudia read for us a minute ago. It says this, and it says that God marked out the appointed times in history. In other words, the times that we live. Did you know that God knows when you were born? And even more scary, do you know that God knows the day you're going to die? Yeah? See, God marked out the time. We are in the arena. I mean, think about that today. These guys that are in the Super Bowl today and these coaches, and I love that we have a female coach that's in the Super Bowl today. Did you realize that they have this opportunity today that many of them will never get? They are in the arena today. We are in the arena. See, our lives have the opportunity to make a difference. God has placed us here for this time. Secondly, he says, and he knows the boundaries of their lands. In other words, God knows where you live, right? Not only the Secret Service or the FBI, but God. God knows, right? God knows where you live at. And did you realize, I think that he knows where you work at, and he's put people around you and that he wants you to be able to influence. It goes on to say that God did this so that they would not seek him, or that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. And you know, that's really why we exist. We exist to share the good news of Jesus with others. So God knows when we live. God knows where we live. God gives us a layup, so to speak. He tells us, "I'm going to put people around you that want to hear." And this is what he asks us to do. The last part of that verse says this: though he is not far from any one of us. And I believe what that says is how we live. And if you kind of put it in reverse order, if we will live a certain way, right? If we'll live open-handed with the message of God, if we'll live in this position of humility, right? If we'll be present with people, if we'll just use the gifts that he gives us, as Pastor Clay talked about, God will give us the opportunity to influence our future. And so today, as we kind of close out this time and head into communion, I want to tell you this. As we move forward as a church and as individuals, I think we need to learn our culture around us. And I think as a church, we are trying to do that. We need to love the people God has placed in our paths. We need to be present with them. This posture of humility, we need to serve. And finally, I believe that when we are the hands and feet of Christ, we get to proclaim the kingdom. And we do that by embracing the past, embracing the ancient, and then we are able to welcome the future.